Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as we have an opportunity to follow up on what we've been discussing in the portions of Corinthians. Just a way of background, the book of Corinthians is written to help a church make sure that it's in good health. Some of us have issues that we have to deal with physically in regard to our health, and we've become conscious of that, and we desire to get proper medical care and proper physical attention to that. And in 1 Corinthians, we find here is the Apostle Paul writing to a church that is wrestling with some spiritual health issues. And it's so applicable for us in that there's so many practical things are found in 1 Corinthians. And so we've been studying the various things about the importance of unity, the importance of working together, the importance of spirituality and wisdom, having a good foundation built upon Jesus Christ. And now as we come into 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul thought it necessary to help them understand why he is in the position that he's in and what his role as a leader is in their lives. For he thought he was in such an important position to help them change, become more like Jesus Christ, but he had to deal with it in such a way that he didn't come across as being proud and boastful, but also coming across with an authority that is based upon Jesus Christ. And I trust as we look at this 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in the area of us in our wrestling with pride and our need to learn how to reflect God in our lives, that we'll be challenged not only how to be good leaders, but how to respond to leaders as well. Let's pray, and then we'll look at some key thoughts, and then what we're going to cover in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Father, I pray that you'll use me as your vessel. Lord, it is a humbling thing to talk about spiritual leaders. It is difficult to really be able to not be affected when talking about this important element, and how humbled I am to know that you have called me to be one of your leaders. And help me, Lord, to move my flesh out of the way, that I might not be standing in the way of the reflection of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for other leaders within our church, too, that they might be strong in their leadership, that they might be reflecting Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those in our church who have been called upon to follow the leadership, that God, you would give them the grace and humility and insight to know how to best follow so that we can all accomplish that which you've called us to do. Pray, God, that you would bless our time together in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our key thought for today is the church body must respond properly to God's servants. This response involves humble respect for the special roles that spiritual leaders play, recognizing that the roles that they have and having respect for that. But we're going to look at three different areas that leaders are explained as in this passage. Apostle Paul, referring primarily to himself, and in that interaction with the people of Corinth, gives us a good idea of what some of the roles of leaders are, especially those who are bringing forth the gospel. The first thing he says that I call the leaders are managers for Christ. And I find this from 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. And that managers are to be reliable. First of all, reliable. It says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Paul is, first of all, letting them know that as he is approaching them, that he recognizes his role as being a servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as we have an opportunity to follow up on what we've been discussing in the portions of Corinthians. Just a way of background, the book of Corinthians is written to help a church make sure that it's in good health. Some of us have issues that we have to deal with physically in regard to our health, and we've become conscious of that, and we desire to get proper medical care and proper physical attention to that. And in 1 Corinthians, we find here is the Apostle Paul writing to a church that is wrestling with some spiritual health issues. And it's so applicable for us in that there's so many practical things are found in 1 Corinthians. And so we've been studying the various things about the importance of unity, the importance of working together, the importance of spirituality and wisdom, having a good foundation built upon Jesus Christ. And now as we come into 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul thought it necessary to help them understand why he is in the position that he's in and what his role as a leader is in their lives. For he thought he was in such an important position to help them change, become more like Jesus Christ, but he had to deal with it in such a way that he didn't come across as being proud and boastful, but also coming across with an authority that is based upon Jesus Christ. And I trust as we look at this 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in the area of us in our wrestling with pride and our need to learn how to reflect God in our lives, that we'll be challenged not only how to be good leaders, but how to respond to leaders as well. Let's pray and then we'll look at some key thoughts and a key thought, and then what we're going to cover in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Father, I pray that you'll use me as your vessel. Lord, it is a humbling thing to talk about spiritual leaders. It is difficult to really be able to not be affected when talking about this important element. And how humbled I am to know that you have called me to be one of your leaders. And help me, Lord, to move my flesh out of the way, that I might not be standing in the way of the reflection of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for other leaders within our church, too, that they might be strong in their leadership, that they might be reflecting Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those in our church who have been called upon to follow the leadership, that God, you would give them the grace and humility and insight to know how to best follow so that we can all accomplish that which you've called us to do. Pray, God, that you would bless our time together in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our key thought for today is the church body must respond properly to God's servants. This response involves humble respect for the special roles that spiritual leaders play, recognizing that the roles that they have and having respect for that. But we're going to look at three different areas that leaders are explained as in this passage. Apostle Paul, referring primarily to himself, and in that interaction with the people of Corinth, gives us a good idea of what some of the roles of leaders are, especially those who are bringing forth the gospel. The first thing he says that I call the leaders are managers for Christ. And I find this from 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. And that managers are to be reliable. First of all, reliable. It says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Paul is, first of all, letting them know that as he is approaching them, that he recognizes his role as being a servant of Jesus Christ, and that his goal is to take care of those things. And then he says this, moreover, it is required in stewards, that word steward means manager, it's required of managers that one be found faithful. Again, the Apostle Paul is trying to make sure they understand that he has a legitimate claim on their life, their spiritual life. He'll explain later on in that relationship as being their spiritual father, he has a responsibility to them. And first of all, he wants them to understand that as a leader, he is a manager that is to be reliable. And that word faithful is one who will stick true. There's another word for faithful is true to what God has called him to be. And we as pastors, if we're going to fulfill that role of being a leader, spiritual leader, as the Apostle Paul refers to himself, we need to be reliable. We need to be faithful. Now, one of the things that we tend to do when we look at individuals who are in the ministry, we have a way of evaluating them. And that's one of the things you'll be talking about in your encore group, is what is our role in judging or discernment? I won't be covering a lot of that this morning, but you'll be discussing that in your encore and also in your this week on the back of your notes. You'll notice that. But the idea is that the people of Corinth were judging Paul, and they were judging him being one that shouldn't have had an impact in their lives. And so he's taking the time to let them know that the area that of most concern is, am I being a source? Am I being a trustworthy, faithful manager of the Word of God? And that's one of the burdens that we carry as leaders, is we must be trustworthy and faithful, or in other words, accurate, true to the Word of God. If you have a leadership responsibility, your responsibility is to be true to the Word of God. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how much training you've had. If we do not have faithfulness, if we're not reliable, if we're not standing strong on the Word of God and His calling of us to be faithful in that area, we have failed to accomplish that. So when we look at the area of discernment, what a manager for Christ should be, a leader, needs to be reliable, needs to be dependent upon the Word of God, accurately using the Word of God. Not only is a manager to be reliable, notice the next part in verse 4 says, but we, verse 3 says this, but with me it is very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I did not even judge myself, for I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. He's just kind of clarifying. He says, I don't know of anything I've done wrong. I don't know why I should have these accusations against me. I have been faithful to the Word of God. I've been faithful to God's calling. He has fulfilled what he says in verse 2 of being a steward or a manager that is faithful. But he says this right at the end in verse 4. He says, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. That anyone who is in leadership position realizes that their accountability is to God Himself. That He is responsible. If we choose as leaders not to accurately lead the sheep in a faithful fashion, we'll be accountable to God. And in one sense, that takes a little bit of pressure off us who are following the leaders. It isn't our job to play Holy Spirit. It isn't our job to make them be a certain way. Now, there are elements of accountability. Blair Ridge Baptist Church has elected deacons. And one of the roles of the deacons is to serve and minister to the body of believers here. One of the roles that we enjoy as a leadership is the mutual accountability we have one with one another. And how that we are making sure that each one is growing and becoming more like Christ. But the bottom line is that we are all servants of God. And that we all serve Him in that capacity. And someday, as was mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, someday our works will be judged. And I as a leader will be judged based upon my works. And some of them may burn up like wood, hay, and straw. Some may glow as a result of the heat that is applied to it, like gold or silver or precious stone. But that Paul is saying, who is the one that has the responsibility for judging? It's God. And we need to be careful, because one of the things we can get involved with is being judgmental to not just the pastor, but other leaders in the church, where we start pointing fingers and et cetera, and being, I guess in the sense of being very critical of how they're leading. Wherein God has called us to be faithful followers, to be willing to support and encourage, and has given us ways in which we deal with that. If there's something a leader is doing wrong, God has given us a plan on how to deal with that. It's to humbly go to them and talk with them and find out what is going on. It's not to stand in judgment and be critical. And God has given us these plans for it, but recognizing, in summary of this point of managers, is that they are reliable, they need to be faithful to the Word of God, that the area we should be concerned about most of all is, are they doing what God has called them to do? Many times we've got all these other ideas of what a leader should be and want to judge them accordingly. That's what they're doing to the Apostle Paul. Paul says we need to be found faithful. And the same thing with the issue in managers being responsible, of making sure that the judgments come from God. But God will not allow a leader to continue on. He will in the end, judge, and we will pay. The second thing about leaders is they're messengers from Christ. Messengers from Christ. This is a very interesting portion of Scripture. First of all, he talks about the dependence on grace. He's contrasting what the people of Corinth were like versus what he was like. And apparently there were some undoubtedly unkind things being said about the Apostle Paul. Unkind things that were going on. There's definitely some conflict that was heading in here. And the Apostle Paul starts now dealing with the differences that were going on. He says, verse 7, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" He hits right to the element of recognizing that we, whether we're leaders or followers, all that we have is received from Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul would go on to contrast what they had versus what he had. He came to them with very little materially. He talks about them having great amount materially. He talks about the contrast between them and maybe some of their philosophical ways and such. You can get a hint of how the Apostle Paul approached this based upon some of the things he said in the earlier chapters about how they didn't come to them with great boldness and great philosophy, but in the strength of the gospel. And apparently there were some heady issues that were going on. And the Apostle Paul just wants to bring them to realize that no matter who we are, we're dependent upon the grace of God. One of the reasons there's conflict within churches and conflict between leadership is that there's that failure to recognize we're dependent upon the grace of God. We are dependent upon Him. When we start thinking that the reason I'm a leader is because of my great leadership abilities or because of the great training that I have or my personality or the things I get done, then I am treading in very difficult land. On difficult ground that could cause me to fall, and recognizing that all that I have, all that is with us, is dependent upon the grace of God. And that's so important for us as a church to recognize, no matter whether we're in the leadership capacity or not, that all we have is dependent upon the grace of God. It's hard to fight when you're dependent upon the grace of God. When you're recognizing that you're humbly working together through God, it's hard to have the conflicts that some churches experience. Not only does he talk about that dependence of grace, but he goes on to talk about them being displayed by God. This is very interesting of what he's hitting on here. He says, "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men." Some key words there. That first word, apostles, is the word messengers. That's what the word meant. That's where I get that point for this outline. Is the Apostle Paul first talked about himself being a manager, and now he's talking about being a messenger. And as a messenger, he says we have been displayed by God on exhibit. It's kind of interesting. God has just laid them out to go through these various things, and he's kind of describing what all the apostles are going through, that they weren't getting the best of the best of the life, you would. You go back to John chapter 21, where Jesus is talking to Peter, and he's how his life would go, and the difficulties that he would experience, and all that type of stuff. That was very typical of what the apostles went through. They did not have life easy. And he wanted to make it very clear to them that the God has chosen to use his servants, his messengers, in a very unique way. He also calls it in a foolish way, that he has laid them on display, that they might be used for God. And I guess that's one of the things I want to encourage you. If God has called you into leadership, you got to realize you are on display for God. He may ask you to do things that you may not be comfortable with, that we as leaders, when we choose to be faithful to God, we may not have everything we want in this world. We may have to be used of God in special ways. An example after example of God using people in the Old Testament, Hosea, what he went through with a wife who abandoned him. God used him as a tool on display to accomplish his goal. Ezekiel, who was given all these crazy things that he was to do to mimic what the people of Israel had done to God. And he was on display. And over again, God will use us on display that God might be able to get his message across. That requires a great amount of humility. Not to be displayed so that we can show how great we are. We're on display so we can show how great he is and how wonderful he is, and to give the glory to him. Before we are reflectors. And when we as leaders get so excited about being on display for others to appreciate, we have failed to understand what a real messenger from Christ is all about. We are on display so that we can exhibit the grace and glory of God. The third point under messengers, it says the messengers are despised for doing good, for the good that they have done. It says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. We are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Kind of get the idea of where the Apostle Paul's attitude in regard to how he felt that the people of Corinth thought of them, as they tried to minister the Word of God and tried to be a source of encouragement to them, that there's a great contrast, that they were instead of being exalted and appreciated, they were despised. And wondering what good is the Apostle Paul? He's got all these things that are going wrong in his life and all these various things. And again, what they were doing is taking their mind off, their attention off the message of the gospel, and putting it on the wrong focal thing. But it's interesting, the messengers many times might be despised for good. And that we cannot judge the success of the message based upon the successfulness looking of the messenger. Guess one of the problems of the Apostle Paul wasn't all the glittery rings. He didn't have all the things going on. He wasn't doing the things that were bringing a lot of popularity on him. And people looked and judged that and said, well, he's not as popular as some of these other speakers. He's not as good looking as some of these other speakers. He's not as eloquent as some of these other speakers. He doesn't have the money coming in like that. You know, woe be to us if we start judging our ministries based upon those types of things. That we think that if we're drawing a large crowd, or if we think that a lot of money is coming in, or if we think that we're really popular, that we have arrived. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear, many times we're despised for doing good. That we don't always have things going well for us. The key is, are we seeing individuals accept Christ as their Savior? Are they being brought up in the nurture of the Word of God? And are they growing? That's where the message comes in. Again, we're reflecting so that the glory of God might be clear. The third item, which I find to be the most encouraging point. The first two points are a little on the negative element, but the third point is talking about being mentors in Christ. We have the great opportunity to certainly, which is a positive thing, be a manager for Christ, and also very positive to be a messenger for Christ, but I don't see anything more positive than being a mentor in Christ. First of all, he talks about how mentors are exhorters. Mentors are the ones who, the word exhort is, if you've read in the scriptures and you see the word warn or counsel, it's the exhort, it's a word comes from the root of noutheo. And some of you have heard of noutheic counseling. There is a group called the National Association of Noutheic Counselors, been around for nearly 30 years. It happens to be a group that I'm certified with because I believe so strongly in their philosophy of biblical counseling, because it's based upon this word that we find in this text of exhorting, counseling, taking the Word of God and help people change based upon the Word of God, not based upon what I think people should be or what society thinks. And here's the context here. He says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. That word warn is that word nutheo, or exhort. He says, I didn't do this. I didn't say all these things so you can feel bad. I'm not here to try to get a red face out of you. I'm not here to try to have you feel sorry for me or any of these type of things. But I got to warn you, like a father warns a child. Those of us who remember our parents and the times in which they would get, sometimes we thought of it as getting on our back, getting honest about different things, and we wonder, why do they care so much? Why? What matters to them what I do with my life? Matters a lot. For a parent has this investment and this desire and concern about what things that individual would do in their life, and so they want to make sure they don't make those mistakes. I want to warn you, he says. I don't want to just embarrass you. And I trust that those parents that are in our audience today, that their goal in rebuking and working with their children is not so that they can feel embarrassed or feel bad, but they truly, out of a loving parent attitude, want to exhort them, warn them, so they don't do things that they'll regret and that will be harmful to themselves or others. So the Apostle Paul is saying, from a spiritual perspective, as my beloved children, I warn you. And as leaders, that should be our goal. We look at the elements of helping other individuals grow to be more like Jesus Christ. Our goal is not to shame, embarrass, put people in their place, win an argument, make things easier for us. None of those things, but instead to warn as a loving parent so that they might be able to do that which pleases God. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. The Apostle Paul is talking about the very intimate relationship he has with them. He was the one who came in through the Corinth area. He's the one who preached the gospel to him first. He's the one who invested. He's the one who had paved the pathway to them with the gospel and with great consternation and pain and agony and love. He imparted to them the Word of God so they could be part of God's family, and he just shares with them, not out of a prideful attitude, but out of a humble attitude to say, I have brought the gospel to you, and I want you to grow. Just listen to me from that perspective that I have invested in you, I have a desire for you, that you might become like the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people out there that can tell you a lot of things. There's a lot of people out there that can say a lot, but there's very few people that have the compassion and the passion that I have. And this is a good encouragement to us of the importance of a local church. There's a lot of instructors out there, folks. There's a lot of radio channels you can go to. There's a lot of TV programs you can turn on. There's a lot of books you can read. There's a lot of things where you can get the instruction. But God is calling us not to just get instruction. He wants that mentoring, that time where we have someone we belong with, someone that we are connected to. The Apostle Paul is encouraging them strongly about the importance of mentoring and that exhorting element, that parenting kind of an attitude. By the way, as a side, sometimes we wrestle with this issue of baptism and its connection to the new birth. For those of you who are just curious about this, the Apostle Paul in the first chapter of Corinthians talks about the fact that he didn't baptize hardly any of them, maybe a couple family, that's it. But now he's writing to the group of them and he's saying, I have brought you into the faith. You have been born again as a result of my ministry. I have begotten you spiritually, he says. Paul makes a very clear distinction between the experience of being born again and the experience of the baptism. And not that we're trying to say that baptism is important, obviously we believe that, but we believe it's very important to recognize that our relationship with Jesus Christ, our coming into the family of God, is based upon our faith in Jesus Christ, and that baptism is separate from that as a sign of our obedience to Jesus Christ. For he has said here, I have begotten you through the gospel. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. That's what he had claims on them for. He is exhorting them. And what a challenge it is to us to be exhorters, to want to mentor, to come alongside, to bring people up. Not just to expect that people will get information when we throw it at them. Ministries here at Blair Ridge Baptist Church that are designed for interaction with one another. That's one of the roles of the Encore group, one of the roles of our Growing Strong God's Family and other studies that we do in accountability is we need to be exhorters. And finally, mentors are examples. It's hard to imagine the Apostle Paul saying this, but he was a man who lived very tightly to God. And what a challenge it would be for us, wouldn't it, to say these words? Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Be like me. How many of us are willing to go around with a t-shirt that says that on it? Be like me. So Paul did, because he was very confident in his walk with Jesus Christ. He says, therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, one he's mentored to the degree of sending out, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. We're reminded of the very important role. Timothy, by the way, received a letter from the Apostle Paul. In the fourth chapter, he says, be an example to the believers. Don't let them despise your youth. But be an example. You know, this idea that we as mentors, as leaders, are examples is so critical. That's why we as leaders need to be disciples. We can't just be individuals who have, as we mentioned earlier, good leadership abilities, good training, great skills, good people skills. No, we need to be disciples. We need to be ones who are following the Word of God. We are the ones to be humble examples of what it is to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Folks, when we have that as our example and we continue as leaders following that and recognizing others are following us, we're less apt to fall in the traps that high-minded, heady leadership can put us into. Well, we talked about the importance of the reflexes. You've been in there before, I'm sure, for a physical. I went to one just recently. The doctor takes out the little hammer, the little rubber hammer, and starts beating on your body all over the place. And your body's supposed to respond to that. It's supposed to have some kind of reaction. Either that or your reflexes are dead. Our question for today is, you know, are we reflecting? You know, how are our reflexes? How are we responding? As leaders, you got three questions for us. Are we responding, leaders, as being responsible to God? Do we recognize ourselves as being responsible to God? Are we noticing that we are to be reflecting for God, being used of Him in whatever way He desires? And do we recognize it's our responsibility to be reproducing for God? Those are important things for us to bear in mind as leaders, as those of you that are interested in being leaders, got to answer those questions. Are you willing to be responsible to God? Are you willing to be accountable to Him for how you live your life and how you use the Word of God? Are you desirous to be a reflector of God? And are you desirous to see reproduction of spiritual life in the lives of others? How about followers? Are you willing to recognize the role of our leaders? Recognizing that God puts people in our lives. there's a definite way in which we learn. We are to be mentored. We are to have individuals come in our life and bring us along. We are not going to make it to that maturity God wants us to on our own, trying to be independent, trying to just simply do things our own way. God has set it up to where we have leaders, natural leaders in the church that God has set up in His process, and we are to recognize that and recognize that they are good managers for the glory of God. Second of all, are we respectful of our leaders? Do we have a respect to recognize these are individuals called by God to do a special purpose? And that we're willing to not look at the external things, that we're more willing to look on the heart, not just on the outward appearance or how things are going that way. And finally, as we follow, are we willing to respond to our leaders? Are we willing to be treated as a child from a father, to be brought along, to be taught? Some of the most important growing stages of my life were when I was willing to sit and line myself underneath another individual and allow him to teach me, allow him to mentor for me, to be an example for me. And I trust some of you that have a similar testimony of when an individual came into your life and helped you grow. May we be responding to our leaders. We want to encourage you as we close our time that you take these things in mind and recognize that this role of serving as a church body is very important. And if we fail on this issue of how we deal with leadership and how we work through it, we can find ourselves with some of the similar problems of the people of Corinth. And I trust that we will look at this and be willing to be humble, reflecting of God. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to bring forth your word. Lord, I pray that you'll take this topic in such a way that it'll be of help to the folks here. Lord, we pray that your word might be exalted and that indeed lives will be challenged in regard to that. Thank you again for the privilege of being able to be your mouthpiece for this morning. Lord, I just ask that you will help individuals to know that they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us as we desire to be humble followers and leaders for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.